Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Can we give our worship team a little thanks for leading us so well today? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. My name's Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love that opportunity, and I'd love to connect with you outside after the service. Today is a great day to have a great day, and I'm excited that you're here. We're going to jump into God's Word together, but before I do that, I want to remind you of a couple things. Number one is this is so important. Our small groups are getting ready to start and kick off for this semester, and if you're not in a small group, I just want you to know you're missing out. I think small groups are essential to walking the Christian life, having people around you. And I know everybody's schedule's busy, and I know it's hard to find the right time, but trust me, it's worth it. And so if you're interested in that, after the service, Courtney Butler, she kind of heads up our small group. She'll be out there, one of our pastors, one of our team. But let me encourage you to get in a small group sometime really, really soon. And the second thing is our class that we call The Loop. If you want to know more about City Hope and what we're all about, if you want to become an official partner, maybe, you know, other churches call it members, our first week one class is going on right now during this service. But next week is step two, and then the third week is step three. And so you can jump in next week if you want. But let me encourage you to be a part of The Loop if you haven't done that yet. I know it'll bless you. I know it'll help you in your life, all right? So we just finished up our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Did that help anybody? Did that do anything for you? Man, it just, gosh, it refreshed my soul. It was so good. And I haven't had sugar in 21 days, and so I'm going to eat some ice cream tonight, and I'm really excited about that. But I do pray that it brought back some fire and some love for God and for you and your life. So today, here's what I want to talk about. I kind of want to stay in that same lane of prayer, but today I want to talk about what you worship. I want to talk about what you worship. Now, I know right now some of you are probably thinking, you know, that doesn't sound super interesting, you know, because your mind probably immediately goes to music, right? For a lot of us, it goes to music, but you're right in thinking that, but worship is so much more. It's so much more, and I want to stretch your thinking a little bit today as we look at worship. I want you to understand what the Bible says about worship, but I want to give you some formal definitions, if you will, okay? And then we'll look at all this together. And what it comes down to is asking yourself this question. And when you walk away, I want you to be able to answer this in an honest way. Is who or what do I worship? Who or what do I worship? Who or what does our family worship? And then once we see that, I think after today we'll be able to answer that question. So let's start with a couple definitions, all right? The Greek word here, I can't speak Greek, all right? So I'm going to try my best here. The Greek word here is proskuneo, all right? And it simply means this. It's a really cool definition. It means to turn and to kiss, to turn and to kiss, or to bow down. All right, so keep that definition there in your mind, to turn or kiss, to bow down. So if I'm going to turn, it simply means turning away from myself and turning to God in an intimate and an affectionate way. I'm going to turn to God, and it's an expression of love. Another kind of definition is this, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, devotion. All right, now think about that word extravagant. I mean, that's a big word. That means like, I'm all in, right? That means extravagant is over the top. Some of you, you've thrown a party, you've been to a party, and it's just extravagant. It's respect, it's honor. Is my worship to God look extravagant? Rick Warren, a famous pastor, says this, anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Okay, so I can live with that one. William Temple, author, says, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. It's the submission of all of my nature to God. So here's these kind of definitions. We've got this bowl of definitions of what worship is. And so the question becomes, okay, well, what in my life am I worshiping? I'm worshiping something. What in my life is extravagant? What in my life do I hold in great regard or great respect or honor? How would you describe your worship? What in my life, one of them was turning to, right? To turn and to kiss. What am I turning to in the most consistent ways in my life?
Now, stay with me here. What are the things in my life is if it's devotion, right? It's extravagant devotion. What am I devoted to? Who or what am I worshiping? What am I expressing my love to? I think the answer to this question is crucial. It's vital to our lives for us to understand this because it's going to tell your story. It's going to tell us a story about you. Why? Because what we become like what we worship. What we worship is what we become like. Let me say it like this, all right? You may know somebody like this, but and you'll understand this. If someone worships possessions, now understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to have possessions, so hear me, right? We're talking extravagant, over the top, like greatly honored. I turn to this. If someone worships possessions, they're going to become a materialistic person, right? If someone worships money, they're going to become someone that is greedy and it's all about me and getting more money. If someone worships sex, they're going to become a lustful person. If someone worships God, they're going to become a God-following person. You worship, what you worship is what you're going to become. Again, I'm not talking about having those things or doing those things. This extravagant chasing after these things. This is a foundational question for all of our lives. We just sang this song that I will build my life on you. What are you building your life on? If you don't know the real answer, if today you sit here and you're like, well, I want to say that my life is built upon the Lord and what he's called me to be, but I don't really know. Here's a good way to understand this. Our actions reveal what we really worship. Like, let's look at our actions, not what we think we want it to be, right? Because if we took a poll, all of us would probably say, man, I want God to be, you know, the thing that I worship extravagant the most. But let's look at our actions. What are the things that I really worship? My pastor from years ago, he's just super wise. And whenever he would preach on something like this, he would say, if you show me your checkbook, this is when people wrote checks, right? If you show me your bank statement, or you show me your calendar, I'll show you what you worship. Show me your bank statement, or show me your calendar, and that'll give me a good idea. That will reveal a lot about you, about what you worship in your life. And so today, I want you again just to filter everything we look at through this question. Who or what am I worshiping? The Bible says a lot about worship. And we're going to go to two different places today. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there or click to it. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to John chapter 4. All right? And I want to show you these two ways that God is talking about our worship. And if I'm going to build my life on something, if I'm going to have a foundation in my life, what should it look like? So let me ask you to do this. Let's stand together and honor the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 20 is where we'll start. It'll be here on the screens. This will probably be a very familiar passage of scripture to many of you, and you'll notice what it is. Exodus chapter 20, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Then God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery.'" Verse 3, "Do not have any other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on earth below or in the waters underneath. Do not bow in worship to any of them. Do not serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Verse 7, "Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates." Verse 11, "For the Lord made the heavens and of the earth, of the sea, everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy." You might notice that as the Ten Commandments, right? You notice that. So now let's jump over to John. Let me give you a quick context. Jesus was doing ministry on earth, okay? He's walking, he's doing miracles, he's doing different things. Jesus gets tired. He's like, man, I need something to drink. So he's walking through a place called Samaria, and he stops at this well. And at this well, there's this woman. There's this Samaritan woman. Now, again, a little context, a little history. Jewish and Samaritans, they didn't like each other. They didn't talk. They weren't allowed to, you know, pretty much coexist together. So here's Jesus, this Jew, and he sits down at the well. This Samaritan woman is sitting there, and he tells her, he starts talking to her, and he starts having this conversation. He's like, hey, I want you to give me some water. But, you know, if you knew who I really was, then you would want to talk to me. She's like, wait a minute, why are you talking to me? This isn't right. We shouldn't be having this conversation. And so then Jesus starts telling her about her life. And he starts telling her some things that only Jesus would know, only a prophet would know. And so we kind of pick up in the middle of this conversation, but listen to what this woman says in John chapter 4, verse 19. Sir, the woman replied, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews say the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Then Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him, there it is again, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use these next few minutes in our lives to raise our worship, to build our life, to have a foundation that is strong, that is built upon you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So over in Exodus 20, God gives us the Ten Commandments, right? And pretty much the reason why God gives us these Ten Commandments, because here's some truths for you to build your life on, right? There's all these different things in the world you could build your life on, but let me give you these Ten Commandments. Now, what I want you to notice is these first four commandments that God gives involve exclusive loyalty to God. You think about that. The first four, it's all about you being loyal to God, making him Lord of your life. There's no idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Like, I want you to be loyal to me as God over your life. Now, why would God do that? God doesn't give us these commands because he's desperate for your attention, right? He's not like, he doesn't need, you know, your approval in life. And he's like, oh, I want everybody to love me, and I want everybody to build their life on me. I think the reason why God gives us these is because he knows that we're not smart enough in the vast array of all the small g gods, right? All the idols that we could have. We're not smart enough on our own account to give our allegiance to him, because there's so many distractions out there. This is really about God defending his glory. This is really about he knows that the best thing for you is him. Now think about that with me again. He doesn't give us this list to stifle us and I just wish I could do some of this stuff, and man, you're just holding me back. He understands that the best thing for you in your life is him. If you want to be healthy and you want to be happy and you want to have true joy in your life, he knows that worshiping him alone is what's going to bring that. So here is God telling the Israelites, hey, build your foundation on me. If there's anything else, I mean, there's all these different things you could build your foundation on, but I need you to build it on me. True, healthy worship happens when I build my life on these commandments. I was thinking about this week, and I was reminded of this story. So Shira and I, just this year in July, we celebrated 20 years of being married. She needs a trophy. She needs a plaque. She needs a vacation, right? And so it's been awesome. She's really, really cool. But year one of marriage is a little different than year 20 of marriage. Some of you guys understand what I'm talking about. So year one of our marriage, we didn't have any kids, and life was great. Life was fun. Well, we had Emma a few years later, and I was a youth pastor making about $35,000 a year. And Shira was like, I really want to stay home with Emma. And I'm like, okay, how are we going to do that? You know, she says, you know, here's what I'll do. I'll pick up some side hustle things. She's like, I'll do some tutoring after school. Maybe I could watch some kids. And she goes, you could do some side hustle things too. And I was like, well, man, I have a job. You're the one that needs it. She's like, no, we both. And so, you know, after about a month or two, I was like, yeah, I need to do some side hustle too. Shira likes to spend money. So we needed some more side hustles in our lives. So me and one of the guys I work with, we came up with this idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make up this flyer, and we're going to pass it out in neighborhoods, and we're going to go aerate people's yards when it's time to do it, right? So we print out these flyers, and we put them in these neighborhoods, and man, I remember one Saturday, we had like 30 yards to do in one Saturday, and we're like high-fiving. I mean, this is the greatest. So we go, and we start aerating these people's yards, and about the third yard, this guy comes out, and he's like, hey, man, I got a question. And my buddy, he was running the machine, and I was just kind of waiting on him so that I could spread the grass seed afterwards. And the guy comes out, and he's like, hey, I need you to come back here and look in my yard. I got this, like, crabgrass over here, and I got this zoysia grass over here. But what I really want to do is I want to put some Kentucky bluegrass over here. And I'm like, we just rented this machine from Home Depot. And the teenager told us which grass feed to get. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like looking at me, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, dude. This is a side hustle. We're just trying to make some money. This guy made me feel like an idiot, okay? But we did his yard well, okay? And we helped him out. This was just something we were doing on the side to make some money. It wasn't my real job. If this guy would have stood in his yard and said, hey, man, I'm struggling with the book of John, I'd have been like, let's go, right? I'm struggling with, hey, man, I got a couple teenagers, and we're having these little things, and I would have been like, man, I'm all in, right? Because that's what I did. That's what I did every day. I hung out, and I talked, and I prayed, and I taught. But he asked me some questions about the side hustle that I really didn't know anything about. And this week, as I was preparing and just praying and this is what God kind of spoke to my heart. You know, a lot of people today in our Christian walk, man, our worship is just a side hustle. And man, there's a lot of, I don't know if there is anymore, but there used to be a lot of preachers that were real mad, and they would preach real mean and real angry, right? And I hope you hear my heart today. I'm not trying to be mean, and I just have a heart to understand. We have enough people who claim Christ that are side hustle worshipers. We don't need any more of those, right? We don't need any more people that I might do this, but it's just if nothing else better comes up. Like, is your worship just a side hustle? Is your relationship with God just something you do? Because God says, don't have any other gods before me. And your worship is what matters to God. And here's another thing. Like, we think, and maybe you've been taught this, we think that God's kind of sitting up there and he's mad and he wants you to stop cussing and stop smoking and stop drinking too much and, you know, what kind of music you listen to. And we think that's what God's all about. But can I tell you this? I believe with all my heart, he cares more about what you are worshiping. God cares a lot more about what you're worshiping. Because when your worship is right, your life is right. And what do we do? What do? We get caught up in trying to change behaviors, right? You change your behavior, but your worship never changes. And so what happens? We go through the cycle, right? We go through the cycle of changes. Every January, I make New Year's resolutions. And what happened? I change some habits, and for a little while, I'm doing good, and everything's great. But what always happens is I end up falling right back into those old things. Why? Because I try to change the outside, and I never changed the heart of the matter. And we got to start at the root. We got to start at the foundation. And we got to identify who or what am I worshiping. God is after your affection. He is after your worship. And he gave us these 10 commandments to build our life upon. Not to keep you from being able to have fun and doing things in life. But am I living my life according to, am I building my foundation on worshiping God? Now, here's the hard part about this today, church. When we think about things we worship, okay? Let's just get real today. I don't want to admit that I worship my kids. But if that's all that my focus is, if that's everything that I do, and then on the side, I'll put God in, a little side hustle. If all I focus on is my marriage, that person. All right, stay with me. If all I'm focused on is that job, we need to love our kids, we need to love our spouse, we need to love our work, but is it just a side hustle? Are those the main thing, and then the side hustle is my worship of God? The side hustle is, well, we may do this. Every once in a while, we'll go do that. Every once in a while, I'll read. God is after your affection. He's after your worship, not your behaviors. So he gives us these Ten Commandments to build on. So what is living a life built on worship look like? What is building a life built on worship really look like? Well, I think this is where this conversation with Jesus and this woman can give us some real insight here in John chapter 4. Because Jesus is having this conversation, and it's really all about worshiping him. And there's lots of context here, okay? So the book of John is the author here. And this story really illustrates exactly what he's trying to get across, right? That Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And so this story really reinforces that. Now, maybe some of you here today, and let me encourage you to go read this full story in John chapter 4. You can really relate to this woman. Because the reality was, this woman was a social outcast. She was not one giving all of her worship to God. She was a side hustle worshiper. She had multiple husbands in her life. And so Jesus here talking to this woman, this really just demonstrates his understanding of people, his love and his grace and his mercy. He had no boundaries for people, right? He was compassionate with this woman. Where everybody else threw her out, Jesus wanted to spend time with her. And through this conversation, we're gonna unpack it here. Through this conversation that Jesus was having with this woman, she kind of noticed something's different about this guy. This guy isn't like everybody else I talked to. He kind of had some supernatural, prophetic things going on. So let's break this down in just these few verses here. In verse 20, so she said, or verse 19, "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you're a prophet." So she's like, man, I see something different in you. There's something going on here. And then look what she says. "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews say the place to worship is over here in Jerusalem." So understand what's going on here. The Samaritans, they thought that this place, this mountain that they were near, was the place that you go to worship God. Well, the Jews, if you've been here with us the last couple weeks, remember the tabernacle and the temple, right? The Jews thought the tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem were the place where you have to go in order to worship God. If you want to worship God, you have to go to these locations. And so she's telling him that our forefathers told us that you had to go to this location in order to worship. But look what Jesus says. Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father," look at this, "neither on this mountain or the one in Jerusalem." Wait a minute, what? So now Jesus is letting her know there's no reason for us to debate who's right. Because an hour is coming that you're going to be able to worship God anywhere you want. Both places will be obsolete here pretty soon. So we're not talking about this mountain. We're not talking about the mountain in Jerusalem. You're going to have, and here's what he's saying. And he's saying to her, "I'm going to play a big role in who you worship and how you worship." So verse 22, he continues this conversation. "You Samaritans worship what you do not know." Now see, you get into a lot of context here, because the Samaritans, they did not have the full revelation of God. They did not know what they were really, really worshiping. So they really couldn't worship God in truth. Now the Jews, they had the full revelation of God, which was the Old Testament, okay? Stay with me. They had the Old Testament, so the Jews understood the real God, who he was, and what he was all about. So here's Jesus, and he's saying here in verse 22, you worship what you don't know, but we worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. And then he says this, "But an hour is coming and is now here," verse 23, "and the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The true worshipers. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So before Jesus died, remember, Jesus is here, he's on earth, he's walking. Before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the thing that separated true worshipers and false worshipers was a location, right? False worshipers, he's saying the Samaritans, you didn't really know. So the location that you guys were at, you weren't really worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So the only thing that was that they had to base upon, whether it was real worship or false worship, was a location. Now Jesus is telling her, hey, listen, here's how you're going to know who's the true worshipers or not. It's going to be those who worship in spirit and in truth. So it's no longer about a location. It's about how you live your life. It's about, am I worshiping in spirit and in truth? So let's look at that, what that means real quick. Let's unpack that, and then we'll land the plane here, all right? He says worship in spirit. What does it mean to worship in spirit? Well, I worship with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my thoughts, all of my beliefs. In other words, I'm going to worship God with my internal being. I'm going to worship God with everything inside of me. Now understand, Jesus isn't going, yeah, this would be pretty cool if you did this. He's saying this is an essential and absolutely necessary element. If you want to be a true worshipers, then you must worship me in spirit. You can't just, here's again, let's bring this to today. Here's the practical side of this. You can't just do all the religious practices and think that you're doing a good job. That's just a side hustle. If you go to church once a month, if you read your Bible every once in a while, if you pray maybe when you need it, no. Those are religious rituals. Those are places, right? He said it's not about a location. I want you to worship in spirit. I want you to worship internally. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your attitude, your thoughts need to be worshiping me. Then he says, I want you to worship in truth. Worship in spirit and worship in truth. Well, what does that look like? Well, that's my body, my actions, my speech, my language. So in other words, my external being. So I'm going to worship in spirit, my internal being. I'm going to worship in truth, my external being. He says, I want you to worship in truth. All right? Well, what is the truth? I got to go. If I'm going to worship in truth, I'm going to, my body, my life, my hands, my feet, the things that I do, the things that I say, how do I worship in truth? Well, what he's referring to here is God's word. God's word is truth. So what he's saying is make sure that your life lines up with God's word. If your life is centered on the truth, then you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. So God wants me to worship him with everything. God wants me to worship him with everything on the inside of me and on the outside of me. That sounds pretty extravagant. That sounds like I need to be centered in everything that we do as an individual, and everything, every decision that I make, and everything that we do as a family needs to be centered upon the word of God. So the question today for you to take home and to chew on is, does my worship line up with God's word? Does my worship line up with God's word? Yes, our actions, you know, think about it for a second, our singing and our giving and our praying and our serving and our studying God's word, those are designed, why? To bring you closer to God, to bring you into a deeper worship of him. When we worship, we're inviting God's presence into our hearts and into our lives. Something for us to understand is our worship not only honors and magnifies God, but it's our own edification. It's for our own strength. It's for our own building up of joy and hope and peace that we need to have in this world. Read this quote this week, and it says this: worship is an opportunity to show how much you value the presence of God. Worship is an opportunity to show how much you value the presence of God. Now realize this, worship is way more than Pastor Brad getting up here playing his guitar singing, right? God, we're going to worship you today with the decisions we make, the things we put on the calendar, the places we go, the places we don't go, the things we watch, the things we listen to. God, we value you. We value your presence in our home, God, so we're going to worship you and we're going to show you. I get asked this question a lot, especially when my girls were little and they were kind of growing up and understanding, and they would go to church and they would see somebody in church and they would see them raising their hands, right? And since we started City Hope Church, I've had people kind of ask me, you know, why do people do that? Why do people raise their hand? Well, maybe that person, this is what I tell the girls, maybe that person has something going on in their life that they just need to give to God. right? Maybe that person has some depression, has some anxiety, and they're just saying, God, would you just take it from me today? And I'm going to worship you through this depression. I'm going to worship you through this anxiety. Maybe, just maybe, they're throwing up their hands to God to say, hey, I'm carrying something really heavy, and I need you to take this. Because you're showing what you value when you worship. You're showing what you value when you give God your worship and you put God right at the center where he's begging you and I to be. And when we worship, again, understand this, it's not just for God. Because when you and I worship, it develops God-like and Christ-like characteristics inside of us. I want to close with this story. As I mentioned, Shira and I celebrated 20 years, and thinking back to year one, and we were young, and it was awesome. You know, it was great, and we got married, and we moved to Kentucky, and we lived in this little townhouse, and it was super cheap and super dangerous. And so Shira's birthday, first birthday of being married, came along, and I'll never forget this. Her birthday comes, and that morning I walk in and I give Shira her present. And she opens it up, and it's a frame. And inside the frame is a piece of paper. And I wrote out Shira's name, S-H-I-R-A. And I wrote a little acronym, right? And it kind of rhymed. Kind of didn't, but it kind of rhymed. And it was like, she is beautiful. Her hair is pretty. But I took some colored pencils and I put some hearts on it, right? And I drew it in real cute. And have you ever given someone a gift and you saw their face and you knew they didn't like it? Anybody, you know? And Shira, bless her heart, she's so sweet. Well, she used to be so sweet. And then, I'm just kidding. She didn't say anything, but her face said enough. And I was like, you know, and I just let it go. And later on that day, I was like, babe, what's wrong? And I think that was the wrong question for me to ask in that moment, because the gloves came off, all right? And she's like, is that all you got me for my birthday? Like, what are you doing? This is how you, like, wait a minute. She said, by the way, I saw you doing that last night. She said, you put no effort into this and it didn't even cost you anything. I learned a really, really, really valuable lesson that day. That Shira hates poems. I'm just kidding. I learned a lesson that day that I've never forgotten. Because what Shira taught me in that moment is the same thing that I think applies to our lives today. And what it was is simple. That if you value me, you'll show me. If you value me, you'll show me. And yeah, I'm talking about gifts and being silly, but think about that in my relationship with Christ. I say with my words, God, I value you, and I just wonder, am I showing him by the way I live my life? Do my words and my actions match up? How do I show God? How do I show him that I value him? He says to this woman, here's how you do this. You worship in spirit and you worship in truth. You worship with your internal being and you worship with your external being. So when the music plays, I worship God through singing. When it's time to give, I worship God through giving. When it's time to serve, God, I'm going to worship you through serving. When it's time to pray, God, I'm going to worship you through praying. When times are tough, God, I'm going to keep worshiping. When times are great, God, I'm going to keep worshiping. Because why? Because I value you in my life. And I don't want anything to be put above you. So God, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to go. I'm going to commit to give and to forgive and to include people. And I'm going to commit to slow down. And I'm going to commit to rest and to see and to believe and to speak and to listen and to wait. God, I'm going to commit to you because I want to worship you in spirit and
in truth. So church, who are you worshiping today? We don't like to admit this. This is hard to admit because worship is such a strong word. But if your actions reveal what you worship, if the things that you do most consistently in your life usually have your worship. So let's take a look and be honest. My prayer today has been kind of twofold. This week, as I've prayed for you and for myself, the first part was this. God, if there's somebody at church today, if there's somebody listening today on the podcast that does not have a personal relationship with you, that doesn't worship you because they don't know you, I pray that today would be a day of salvation. That's been my prayer for you. I'll talk more about that here in just a second. But the second thing that I've been praying is this. God, reveal to me in my heart if I'm just a side hustle Christian. If I'm just a side hustle worshiper. And I've been praying that for you, that God would reveal to you today, not to shame you. Listen to me. It's not about shame. It's not about condemnation. Think about this. This is about love. This is about God drawing you back and saying, hey, for this season, for a while now, maybe you have been a side hustle worshiper, but God's calling you back, just like he sits and he talks to this outcast of a woman and he says, hey, I just want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. And today, maybe God's calling you back to get recentered on him and stop your worship being a side hustle worship. Again, church, man, you know this. We got enough people claiming Christ that are side hustle Christians. We need some all in Christians. We're gonna change our world. We're gonna change our community. We're gonna change our home. It takes worshiping in spirit and in truth. If today, when you ask God to reveal to you what you worship, if your answer is anything other than Jesus, then my prayer is that today you would make some shifts in your life. You would ask God to help you. You would ask God to recenter you and worship in spirit and in truth. Would you bow with me this morning? As I said a second ago, maybe for some of you today, you don't have this personal relationship with Christ. This lady just met Jesus and he's throwing all this stuff at her and about worshiping God and all this stuff. And maybe you feel like that lady today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Well, here he is right now in this moment calling out to you saying, hey, I want to bring you into the family. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, this is what it is. I want to tell you all this stuff, but as simple as I can make it, he says, I just need you to believe in me. It's that simple. I need you to believe in me. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus and you realize that today, it's not even a side hustle, it's a no hustle. Then let today be the day of salvation. When we're finished here in just a minute, grab me. Say, Pastor Bobby, I want to know what it means to have a relationship with Christ. It's the most important decision you'll ever make for you, for your family, for your spouse, for your children. Maybe you're here today and you have that relationship part taken care of, but today God's revealed to your heart, hey man, I've just been a side hustle in your life, and I need you to go all in. I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. You know those Ten Commandments? I want you to build your life off of those. Not just suggestions. Not just every once in a while. God, I need you. God's saying, I need you to do this all the time. Would you be all in? If God's speaking to your heart today, church, would you just take a moment and respond? Right there in your seat. It's not about a location. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can build our lives upon you, Lord, that our true peace and joy and happiness comes from you. And Lord, I pray that City Hope would always be a church that worships you in spirit and in truth, with our words and our actions, with what we say and what we do.
Lord, I pray that today, if you reveal to some of our hearts that we're just side hustling, God, I pray that today you would give us the boldness, the courage, Lord, the wisdom to make the changes, to make the shifts in our lives, to make sure that everything flows from you. Every decision that we make for ourselves and for our family, you come first. Lord, I pray that we would build our lives upon our worship of you. I pray for the man or woman who sits in this room today and they just so relate to this Samaritan woman. They feel like an outcast. They feel like they're not worthy of your love. And God, I pray that today you would shower them with your presence. Shower them with your love and your goodness and your relentless pursuit of who they are. Lord, show us that we can start today to build that foundation on you, to rebuild that foundation on you. Young and old, all over this room, speak to us, Father. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.